There is an old Peanuts comic strip where Lucy is sitting at a psychology booth and Charlie Brown comes by. He stops for an advice about life and Lucy begins to ask him a question. She asks, "Life is like a deck chair on the cruise ship of life. Some people place their deck chair at the rear of the ship so that they can see where they've been." And she continues by saying, "Others place their deck chair at the front of the ship so they can see where they are going." Then Lucy looks at Charlie Brown and asks, "Which way is your deck chair facing, Charlie Brown?" And without hesitation, Charlie Brown responds. He says, "I can't even get my deck chair unfolded." He says, "I can't even get my deck chair unfolded." Dear friends, do you feel like Charlie Brown these days, not knowing where to place our deck chair? But we thank God because we have God's word. Because God's word, as the psalmist reminds us, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. A very good morning to all of you who are joining us today. This week, I want to look at the theme called Resolve to Walk by Faith. On the theme, Resolve to Walk by Faith, by looking at John chapter 5. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We pray, God, that you'll continue to lead us. Help us, Lord, to see you. Help us, Lord, to see you as the shepherd of our lives, Father, and to hear your voice and to be led by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever gotten your car stuck on a patch of ice during the winter season? Maybe some of you would say, "Yes, I got my car stuck. It was a challenging experience." You know, I did experience it once, unable to move. I tried moving forward, but you know, the car was just sinking into the ice. You move backward, it sinks. And then with the help of some people, we were able to reach back home. I still remember the person who helped us, and the person told me this: "Place your foot on the gas till you reach the cleared path. Place your foot on the gas till you reach the clear path." You know, sometimes in life, we hit patches of ice. They seem to create barriers for us or even limit our options. And as time goes by, this eventually consumes our days and we fall into a rut, unable to move. I believe the challenge of living during this pandemic time is not only a physical challenge, not only a social challenge, but it's also a spiritual challenge. The pandemic is a spiritual challenge for us to grow in our love for God. I believe for some of us, it's a challenge to keep up with our spiritual disciplines or even to love each human being in our world. Each and every day, many of us will say, "No, we are waiting, we are watching, we are hoping," but nothing is really changing. You know, when we look at our lives, sometimes some of us would even confess by saying, you know, it even affects our spiritual life, my walk with God. We feel as if we are doing the same things again. Spiritual life becomes a routine kind of a thing, the same activities over and over again. Some of us would even say to the extent by saying, you know, the excitement is gone. The zeal is gone. The passion is gone. We thank God for His Word. In today's passage, the Gospel opens with Jesus traveling into Jerusalem. When Jesus arrives to Jerusalem by the sheep gate, He goes to the pool called Bethesda. It's a large area with five entrances. Can you imagine? It's a beautiful pool by five entrances covered with verandas and patios. You know, sounds like a beautiful place. But when you look at the passage very carefully, you know, John pictures a scene of need, a scene of chaos, a scene where you can see cries, fears, emotion, tensions. In verse 5, he says, "There laid a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed, in this beautiful area." John also tells us that Jesus went on the Sabbath day and he visits this particular place, surrounded by people with need, people with various kinds of challenges. That's not a sight we want to see, and that's the kind of place it was. And Jesus steps close to a man who had been stuck in a rut for 38 years. And he had been living or even coming to the same spot all his life. 38 years, you know, he was there longer even before Jesus came into this world. Right, as a child. Can you imagine? 38 years he had been doing that. And sometimes when you look at this particular passage, as we read, you know, some of us would say, you know, we feel we are in a rut. Or some of us would say, I've been there. Loss of passion to practice our spiritual disciplines, to keep our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we look at God's Word, you know, God's Word is so powerful. And Jesus comes to this man with that need who have been stuck in a rut. And even today, He comes to us. And the first word that Jesus is speaking to the man is asking him a question. And He asks, "Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well?" You know, one of the things that stands out about the Lord is, you know, He is always asking questions. Sometimes you might even wonder, why is Jesus asking a question? Isn't the answer so obvious? This man needs help. He needs healing. Is Jesus not aware of our needs, our challenges, and the things that, you know, that we experience each and every day of our life? Jesus was not asking out of confusion or even out of curiosity, my friend. He knew the thoughts of men. But He wants this man to be willing to admit. He wants this man to be willing to admit that he is in need. His condition. He needs help. And He wants him to acknowledge where he was in his life. Jesus wanted to know whether this man was happy where he was or whether he wanted healing to take place in his life. You know, when you look at scriptures, maybe we might, when we look at it, maybe this focus might have shifted. His desires for healing might have ceased. And that's why he's not answering the question. If you realize when Jesus asked him a question, he was not giving the answer. Probably his desire has ceased. Or maybe disappointments have struck him and hope is completely gone. He's been just lying there and that is his identity. Maybe that's the way he knew how to live. Just waiting, just waiting. I was reading about a film that was taken many years ago entitled "The Shawshank Redemption." It's a story with a fictional character by the name of Andy Dufresne, who was imprisoned for a crime he didn't commit. And so Andy Dufresne goes into the prison He befriends his fellow inmates, including a man called Red, who reminds him that the world inside is not at all like the world outside. Staying inside long enough, he warns him that the world outside loses luster. And he calls this institutionalized. So Red tells him, "You know, these walls are funny." He says, "First you'll hate them, then you'll get used to them. As time passes, you'll become dependent on them." I think that was what was happening in this man's life. At times, it also happens in our life. The walls becomes the security and even becomes the identity. Some people are more comfortable in their known discomfort than they are willing to risk the discomfort of the unknown to get well. Sometimes we feel that in our Christian life, we are just struggling with the same weakness, with the same bad habits, with the same sins. And that becomes who we are. Or at times we feel spiritually dull, no matter how hard we try, you know, it seems that nothing is going to change. It seems that we are just reverting to where we were before. Dear friends, do you feel caught in a spiritual rut? There's no excitement. There's no zeal. Unproductive. You know, the Apostle Paul was aware, because it also happens to those who are even in ministry. And Paul writes the letter to the young minister, Timothy, right, who was just busy, soaked with deeds. And so Paul reminds this young man by saying, you need to fan the flame, the gift that is in you. And when John writes in the book of Revelation that was just revealed to him, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, we read about the churches of Ephesus, and where the angel of the Lord says, "No, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first." Can you imagine? This church started well. It was so powerful. The excitement, the zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ was so powerful. But as time went by, it became a routine stuff. They were just busy with their deeds and activities. And the efforts were not directed by the Spirit. They were seeking their own glory and seeking the glory of God. Dear friends, you know, where are we today? Are we caught in a spiritual rut? Are we progressing? Are we stuck? We say, and Jesus is inviting us by saying, "Do we want to be made well?" I came across a small book, little book written by Donald Whitney, professor of spiritual formation. He writes and he says there are 10 questions to check where you are in your spiritual growth, whether we are progressing in our spiritual journey. You know, some of the questions are very simple, but they are very profound questions. And some of the questions goes like this. He says, Do I have a growing, burning desire for God? Am I sensitive to God's presence and leading? When I'm faced with a tough decision, whether it's school or job, am I sensitive to God's presence and leading? Am I more loving? He says, am I more loving now than I was before? And another question is posing to check where we are. Do I have a growing concern for the needs of others? Or do I delight in the church? Does my sin bother me? Does my pride bother me? My impurity bother me? My dishonesty bothers me? It's sad because there are many today. They know where they are, but they don't want to move from that spot. And that becomes the identity. But the Lord is aware of our struggles and He is asking the question again. Do you want to be made well? Do we want to be made well? What a powerful, what a wonderful question, but full of hope, my friend. And so the second thing which I see is, let's not delay. Don't delay. You know, when Jesus is asking this question, how did the man respond? Interesting, right? The way he responded in verse 7, he says, I have no one to help me into the pool. And Jesus is asking him, do you want to be made well? But this man is answering differently. He says, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. Because that was their belief. You know, the angel of the Lord came and stirred, and anyone who goes into the water first will be healed. And he says, while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes ahead of me. You know, instead of jumping and saying, yes, I want to be healed. Can you imagine this man comes with an age-old problem. He begins to blame. He begins to make excuses. And the first excuse he's giving, I have no one to help me. This man, in other words, just waiting for the water to move, right? And he says, you know, there's no one to help me. I'm waiting for someone else to fix my problem. I am waiting for someone to give me the right word, to fix me, to help me. Yes. There are times, you know, we need people's help. But in this situation, you know, the Lord, this man is saying, I got no one. He's just blaming others for the condition that he's in. You know, some are like this man. They're just waiting around for their problems and struggles to get better. And they're not doing anything about this. They're not doing anything about it. And Jesus is still asking the question, do you want to be healed? Do we want to be made whole? Then we need to do something. And I believe Jesus is saying, stop waiting unless and do these things. Yes, we need to wait unless God wants us to wait. But this man was just waiting without doing anything on his side. Secondly, if you look at it, you know, he says, when I try to get in, someone steps in front of me. Can you imagine? He's now blaming others for the inability to get into the pool. He says, no one will help me into the pool. When he comes closer, someone else goes in. So in other words, he says, that's not my fault. He's blaming others because he was not able to reach the pool first. Can you imagine, you know, this man was just blaming. I was just reading an article about blaming. The writer says, it's the fine art of making others responsible for all the difficult things that happens to us. Unfortunately, we live in a time, you know, in modern society, modern society supports and says this is totally acceptable. You know, when we are in a spiritual rut, we tend to do the same. We blame our circumstances, we blame people around us, we blame the hurdles, you know, and we blame and we blame and we blame. Unless and until we start looking at ourselves or pointing fingers to ourselves, there is no healing, my friend. We need to look at ourselves and ask the Holy Spirit of God to open our eyes to our faults. And at the same time, not to lose sight that Jesus is there to help us. Today, are we like this man? Are we just complaining about others, about church, about the circumstances or the situations we are in? Or are we looking at ourselves and I say, I need to take responsibility for where I am in my life? Thirdly, let me look at the last word. You know, if you look at it, Jesus is coming to this man and giving him a very powerful word in verse 8. He says, get up, pick up your mat and walk. In other words, Jesus is saying, be committed, get up, pick up your mat and walk. Jesus is not touching this man. He's not using any other means, but he's just giving him the word. And these words are powerful words because it comes from the Savior and the Creator of this world. Just get up, pick up, and you're mad and walk. When I look at the word, it's a word, it's a call to faith. It's just calling him to exercise faith in him. Can you imagine? The man would have heard such voices before. But now when he hears the voice of Jesus, he knows this is a different voice altogether. It is a voice that redeems, that heals. And I believe that Jesus knew his faith. Because this man is attempting. He's making attempts to get up from his bed. Can you imagine? It would have taken, probably, you know, he would have just struggled a bit. Because he has been lying there for the past 38 years. A few moments to get his balance. But he listened to the word of Jesus. And today, I believe, the same Lord is asking us, is calling us to action. Get up. Have faith in me. Be active again. One act of faith is more valuable than 38 years of wishful thinking, my friend. This man acted. You know why? It's because Jesus is the healer. And the Lord is able to do great and wonderful things in our life, my friend. You know, when you look at the passage, you know, in verse 14, it concludes. And let me finish. In verse 14, Jesus sees this man again. And Jesus is giving him a final word. In verse 14, it reads like this. Later, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning. Or something worse may happen to you. You know, Jesus is not telling him, you know, wasn't the miracle great? But Jesus is giving him a word of challenge, a word of obedience. You've been healed now. You need to stop sinning. If not, something worse may happen to you. The word of God generally does not connect specific sins to physical problems. However, there are times, you know, our sufferings can also be related to our sins. There are some situations where the Bible ties, right, our specific sins to particular sufferings. But the Lord is telling him, do not continue, right, if not something worse may happen to you. When I hear the word, I see Jesus not only as a healer, but he is talking to him about living a life of obedience, if not something worse will happen than 38 years of being invalid. You know, that's a powerful reminder. That Jesus is asking this man to live a life of obedience. If not, his eternity will be bad, will be difficult. Today, my friends, are we sitting on the mat? Are we looking at the pool of Bethsaida? Are we looking at the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe the same Lord is giving us an invitation today. Do you want to be well? Do you want to have the power to overcome the spiritual rut you are in? The sin that you're struggling with? Do you want to find the peace and joy that Jesus offers? Can you hear the word of the Lord stand up, take your mat, and walk. I want to conclude with a story. And this true story happened many years ago, many hundreds of years ago. A young Greek artist by the name of Timothys. He studied under a respected tutor. You know, after many years, he wanted to learn the skills and he wanted to be a great artist. And the many years spent at the teacher's effort, you know, really seemed to pay it off. So one day, you know, Timothys was just working on his exclusive work of art. And then, you know, he made it. It was a beautiful art. Unfortunately, he became so fascinated with his drawing that every day when he came to this place, he would just gaze at it, you know, and he would just admire. That paralyzed him in other ways. Every day he was just coming and looking at his work, just admiring, and probably, you know, patting himself. One morning when he arrived to admire his work, he was shocked to find that it was blotted out with paint. Oh, Timothys was just frustrated, angry. He ran to his teacher, who admitted that he had destroyed the painting. And the teacher said, "I did it for your own good. That painting was retarding your progress. That painting was just stopping your progress. It has paralyzed you. Start again and see if you can do better." Timothys took the teacher's advice and he produced one of the finest paintings in history, my friend. The sacrifice of Iphigenia. It became the finest paintings. Many a times if we realize we are happy when we look at our past Christian walk with God, and we just take joy with that. But how are we today? The Lord wants us to progress in our walk with Him, in our love for Him. He wants us to draw closer to Him, my friend. I was just reminded of a quote, and let me finish. The writer says, "When there is a risk, when there is no risk, there is no faith," he says. "When there is no risk, there is no faith. When there is no faith, there is no change. When there is no change, there is no growth." Why don't we tell ourselves, you know, "Lord, I just want to draw closer to you. I want to exercise faith in you, God." When we have faith, you'll see changes. When you see changes, you see growth in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you because you're a God who knows where we are in our life, Father. And even today we hear the voice. Do you want to be made well? Help us, Lord, to respond and give ourselves to you, to enjoy you working in our life, Father, and to be filled with your Spirit and to have the joy and peace in our life. We thank and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.